Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Army veteran Pat Harrigan. Then we're going to talk with Colonel Steve Yudovich about a new war memorial. And Skip and I are going to shoot the bull. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Army vet Pat Harrigan. Pat's a combat vet, a Green Beret, a businessman, and he loves America. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Danny, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Pat, start by telling us about your time in the Army. When and why did you join? And talk to us about why you decided to be a Green Beret and what that was like.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So I truly felt a calling based on my faith to go into the military. I don't have military background in my immediate family. Grandfather served in World War II, but something just driving through those gates at West Point told me that that's exactly where I needed to be. And so it was the only place I applied to, kind of took the risk and, wrote that blank check. And lo and behold, we ended up getting in. And then, I studied nuclear engineering while I was there, basically because I had no idea what I wanted to do when I was growing up. When I grew up, and I figured that if I graduated with a degree in nuclear engineering, that nobody would tell me that I'm too stupid to do what I wanted to do once I figured it out.
Okay.
that is mostly held true, Denny. But no, I came out of West Point. I went into the infantry, in the Army, you can't go directly into Special Forces as an officer like you can in the Navy or the Air Force. So did time in the infantry, got stationed up at 25th Infantry Division up in Fort Wainwright, Alaska. Took a infantry platoon over to Afghanistan, had an incredibly awesome Special Forces type like mission, had a little small combat outpost in the Argonaut Valley, just northeast of Kandahar a little bit. And as a 23-year-old, just had an absolute blast and grew a lot very quickly and, wanted to come back. And it's like, man, I really like that Special Forces stuff. That's what I want to do. So applied to the Special Forces, went to selection, got picked up, and then ended up taking a team at 3rd Special Forces Group before running right back to Afghanistan. You know how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you weren't bored, is what you're saying.
I was not bored. No, I was always gainfully employed, solving lots of problems.
Well, you and I've got a lot in common. I too went to West Point, and I'm the first person in my direct line to ever wear a military uniform.
Wow.
A lot of my family were cops, but nobody else in the military. So I don't know what led me to want to go in the Army, but I did. And West Point was the only school I applied to, and I wanted to go in the infantry. So it's a little scary. Okay.
Amazing.
So how many years did you serve, and what did you do when you got out?
So I did 7.5 years total after West Point. And, I got to the point when I was in Afghanistan the second time around, it became very clear that we did not have the political will to win in Afghanistan. And, a bunch of guys died that didn't need to die, and not for military reasons, but for political reasons. And so, I had the fortune of actually, my wife and I had a business on the side that we were running, and it grew very rapidly while we were in the military. So it gave us a very easy step in transition out of the Army and into business. And that business was, we were putting production line components on large firearms manufacturers' production lines. And so we used a network of distributed manufacturing from across the country to effectively fill that demand as a broker. And then when I got out, we kind of took a lot of the profit that we'd earned and invested that into manufacturing. And so now we have a 120,000 square foot facility. We started in a double wide trailer outside of Fort Bragg 7.5 years ago or so. But now we've got this big facility out here. I'm in our conference room right now. And all American manufacturing sits on about 80 acres. We've got about 60 employees, ton of robots, and just incredibly advanced, highly technical manufacturing. And we're still doing everything that we were doing when we were brokering. We're just doing a lot of it ourselves. Plus, we've expanded into optics manufacturing and also munitions manufacturing. And now we also have a couple lines of firearms, too. So, we're producing anywhere from, between about 500 to 1,000 weapons a week now, which is pretty cool. And so it's been an awesome experience, a great trajectory coming out of the Army, and certainly one that with, the background and experience that both of us have, has put me, into a very well-suited position in the business line of work that I've decided to go into.
That makes sense. And I was a Mideast war planner for about 4 years, ending about 1981, uh-huh. Which was before we got into the Mideast. But we were doing a lot of planning for what would happen if we got in there.
Sure.
And I retired about 6 years later, just before you guys started going in. But I agree with you. We went to war without knowing what victory looked like.
Correct.
It's what some people call endless wars. And I don't think we need to do those. Matter of fact, I'll put it another way. I think we sure as heck should never do that. We shouldn't send people out to die if we don't say, here's what victory looks like, and we're committed to it.
Two things, Denny, would solve an awful lot of problems for veterans. One, don't fight wars we shouldn't fight. Number two, win the ones that we do.
Simple. Nicely put. I think we said the same thing in different ways. But when I was a cadet at West Point, everybody was an engineering major. There was one major and everybody had one. So
right.
I majored in nuclear weapons or nuclear engineering. So I didn't have to put up with what you have to put up with. But that's all right. We call each other names. That's what brothers do, isn't it?
That's right. That's exactly right.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Army vet Pat Harrigan. Pat, you've served our nation in uniform. You're serving our nation now by running a good business. I really appreciate the fact that you are making things in America to sell in America. I like buying things that are made in America by Americans. We need a Absolutely. Lot more of that in this country.
Yes, we do.
I know that you have a desire to continue to serve in a different way. Talk to us about your plans for the near future.
Yeah, you know, God put it on our hearts to run for Congress. And, you know, my wife and I, for me, you know, kind of my political involvement really started with the fall of Afghanistan. I really could not comprehend how we'd have such a criminally incompetent chief executive to effectively allow the exact same thing that happened on the front end of his career in Vietnam while he was a young buck to happen on the back end of his career, the exact same thing happening in Afghanistan. And you and I both know, and I think most people who are listening to this podcast understand that, you know, it's not about the time and the waste and, you know, the sacrifice. It's not about any of those things. The thing that's most frustrating about Afghanistan is that we all know it condemned the next generation of Americans to conflict. And it's not even a question anymore. And as the world continues to burn due to a lack of American leadership, I've always said when America fails to lead, the world burns. The world is absolutely burning today.
Very well said. I totally agree with that, Pat. Please continue.
Yeah. So my wife and I, we've got two little girls. Their names are Reagan and McKinley. So you can probably tell I've been a Republican for my entire life. But, you know, we just look at those two little girls. They're 4 and 6 years old. And we just see the hope that's in our kids' eyes, right? I mean, like when you look at kids, you see nothing but hope and excitement for what's to come. And I think that we know as we look out and we survey our country, the state of our country, the state of the world, it's an open question as to whether we are going to set the conditions for that hope to be fulfilled. And as of right now, I don't think that we are, and we could potentially provide less opportunity to the next generation of Americans. And that has never happened before in the history of this country. And so, you know, my wife and I really kind of sat down and we talked about this and we said, you know, we could just continue to kind of grow our business, expand, make money, take care of ourselves, take care of our family, hunker down. But eventually, it's going to catch up to all of us, right? Like if the conditions aren't set for everyone to be successful, if we aren't telling each other the truth, and if our government is not protecting its citizens, then we are all going to be in a boatload of trouble. And I need to do everything that I can possibly do to stand up and say, nope, that's not going to happen, because I'm not going to give that to my kids. I'm not going to give that to your kids. That's irresponsible. And as we know, the alternatives around the world are not good. So we've got to do something about it. And that's why I've hopped in to run for Congress in the 10th District of North Carolina. It's basically kind of northern Charlotte, up in the Mooresville area, across to Hickory in the west, and then up to Winston-Salem in the northeast. It's a pretty big swath, over 750,000 people in it. But it is the district that outgoing Congressional Representative Patrick McHenry is retiring out of.
Okay. How can listeners who want to get in touch with you, plug in, help you, donate?
Yeah, Denny, people can go to harriganforcongress.com. That's H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, kind of like the old Yankee Doodle Dandy jingle. And look, there's a bunch of different things you can do on our website. There is a volunteer tab. If you live in the area or in North Carolina, you don't have to necessarily be in the district to volunteer. You can hit that volunteer tab, sign up, give us your contact information. Somebody will reach out to you within 24 hours. We would absolutely love that help. There's also a donate tab. Certainly all these political campaigns are incredibly expensive. We're spending about $40,000 a day right now. It is not cheap to do what we do, and it's not cheap to change this country. That's often why it doesn't change, just because the barriers to entry are so high. That would be incredibly beneficial. And then, you know, third is just pray for us. This is a very tough thing to do. The establishment doesn't like us. They've spent over $1 million attacking me with lies and more lies. And you know what? We have withstood it all. We're up in the polls. We're in a fantastic position to finish off this race. Next Tuesday, March 5th, North Carolina is a Super Tuesday state. This is all over. And it is a Republican plus 17 district. So whoever wins the primary, it's down to me and one other guy. You know, a career attorney turned career politician, the exact type of person we do not need to send to Washington, D.C. We need more veterans up there now more than ever as this world continues to burn and we have significant challenges to navigate. But I think we're going to come out on top, and anything that any of your listeners can do would be greatly appreciated on the help side.
Pat, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I truly hope you're successful in your run. Our nation needs people like you in our government. God bless you, brother.
Denny, thanks so much. God bless you and all of your listeners as well. Keep up the good fight.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. I'm happy to welcome to the show Colonel Steve Yudovich. He, like me, is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, and he's working on a very appropriate project in Florida. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, sir. Thanks for having me on Frontlines of Freedom. I'm a listener, and I appreciate it.
Hey, that's great. Tell us about your time in the Army. When and why did you join?
Well, sir, I was commissioned in 84, had a four-year ROTC scholarship to Penn State, and grew up in the Philadelphia area, and was commissioned in 84, did a tour of duty with the old guard in Washington, D.C. I was commissioned as an infantry officer, regular Army, went to Ranger School, spent about 18 months in the old guard, Washington, D.C., then about another 24 months in Korea, followed by about 3.5 years after the advanced course, followed by about maybe 3.5 to 4 years in Germany, commanded a company there. Came back to the States, taught Army ROTC at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, got my master's degree there. And then I left the Army, the active Army, and transferred to the National Guard. Got married, had a couple children, and stayed in that area. Was a National Guard officer for, I want to say, about maybe 6 years. And then I transferred to the United States Army Reserve to a civil affairs unit in Philadelphia. And spent the last portion of 2004 and all of 2005 in Iraq, commanded about a 75-man advisor team in northwest Iraq, and had some interesting experiences there, and retired from the reserves in 07. My last assignment, I was an operations officer for a consequence management unit at Aberdeen. It was actually a good assignment. And then as soon as the stop loss was lifted on infantry officers in the reserves, I decided to retire. My sons were 12 and 10 at the time. And so they're like 28 and 26 now. So I was pretty lucky when I was in Iraq. I got in a lot of firefights and a lot of direct fire actions. And so 2007, when they lifted the stop loss on infantry officers, I retired.
So you weren't bored. You stayed busy doing interesting things.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Retired to do what?
Well, I became a chief of public safety for a small college in Delaware, Widener Law School. My boss was, at the time, was the director of public safety. He was actually a 76 graduate from USMA, Pat Sullivan, captain of the baseball and the hockey team. Actually, his roommate was former chief of staff, Odierno, Ray Odierno. Pat's a great guy. He's well known in your USMA alumni circles because of his athletic accomplishments there at the academy. And I worked there for a number of years and then moved to Florida about 4 years ago. While I was in Delaware, I started a program called Warrior Weekend that still operates today. It's basically an R&R focused program for soldiers nearing the completion of their therapy at Walter Reed. And it's sponsored by Marriott. Amtrak provides transportation. But like I said, I started that program in 07. And I ran it for about 5 or 6 years. That program still runs today, and it follows the basic business model that I established back in 2007.
That's cool. And this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Steve Yudovich. Steve, so you haven't been bored. I'm sure there's more you can share, but I know that you are involved with a war memorial that's being created, I think in Florida. Tell us about that. That's cool.
Yes, sir. This was an idea that started when I lived in Delaware, and I've just kind of transported it with me down here to Florida. I started a foundation called the Iraq and Afghanistan War Memorial Foundation. The purpose of our foundation is to establish a monument that will honor Floridians who served in our nation's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Our website, where you can see a picture of what this monument will look like, is www.iawmf.org. That's iawmf.org. And this monument will be made out of India black granite, the same type of stone that your beloved Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. is made out of. And it will be a two-sided monument. Front side will have an outline of the map of Iraq and one Afghanistan. It will have service emblems on it. It'll have colorized campaign ribbons for Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as some appropriate wording. And on the back side of this monument, and this is what makes it very unique, it'll be the only monument of its type in the state of Florida once it's established, will be 349 names of service members who had Florida as their home of record at the time of their death. That's what makes this monument kind of unique. There's no other monument like it. 243 Army, 77 Marines, 19 Navy, 10 Air Force for a total of 349. Those names were obtained from the Defense Casualty Analysis System. Not sure if you're familiar with this agency, sir, but they work under DOD and their only job in life is to track casualties. Getting them on the phone or getting them to respond to an email, though, unfortunately, is impossible. And the only way I found to communicate with them was through the office of my congressman, because as Congressman Gus Bilirakis here in Tarpon Springs, Florida, because as a federal agency, they're actually required by law to respond to a member of Congress.
And, you know, it's amazing how true that is.
Yeah.
in all kinds of things. So I'm glad you figured out how to break the code.
Oh, yeah. I was hitting my head against the wall. And one day I was, you know, swimming some laps at LA Fitness. And I said, I bet you there's a law that requires them to respond to a member of Congress. Or maybe I heard something on a radio talk show, a member of Congress saying that they're required to respond to us or whatever. And voila, you know, 3 weeks after my congressman hit them up for the information, I mean, I had an Excel spreadsheet sitting right there in my email.
Hey,
from the Defense Casualty Analysis System. So,
Steve,
it worked out well. And this monument, sir, is basically going to be made of three panels that'll be butted together.
When will it be up?
It will be dedicated on April 20th. Okay.
Okay.
And so each of these three panels will stand 6 foot high, 4 foot wide, and 8 inches thick. So
that's
for a
great
total of basically, you know, 12 feet wide, 6 foot high. And it has a huge base made out of the same stone, India black granite, which, as I'm sure you know, the Vietnam War Memorial is made out of. In fact, that stone was unknown, was virtually unknown in the United States in the monument business until the Vietnam War Memorial was made. And people said, wow, what is that? You know, I want to make a monument out of that. It's India black granite. It comes from India. Yeah,
Steve,
we're looking forward to it. It's going to be dedicated on April 20th. We just recently, like within the last couple of weeks, approved all the inscriptions. Obviously, approving the backside, the names, was a lengthy process. We reviewed that list of names probably 25 times.
Steve, thank you.
Okay.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you've done and what you're doing, standing up for our veterans, for our people who are serving now. And God bless you. You're doing the right thing. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for having us on. And once again, that website for your listeners is www.iawmf.org.
And if you didn't write that down, hit me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. I can share it with you. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Skip and I will shoot the bull, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Well, folks, you've been asking that Skip and I do a bit more chatting and reveal more of our, well, goofy personalities. Well, you asked for it, and here we are. So I'm going to start by discussing how I met my wonderful wife. I was a brand new second lieutenant. Graduated from West Point, went to Airborne Ranger School. On the 1st of January, 1965, I reported for duty at Fort Carson, Colorado. And at that time, there were no American combat units in Vietnam. There were advisors, but not combat units. That March, we started putting American combat units in Vietnam. So I volunteered for service in Vietnam. And that June, I got orders to go to Vietnam to report in October. So I was a happy guy. I was going to Vietnam. And then I got set up on a blind date. It turns out that a local college had a summer seminar that a lot of female high school teachers were attending. And this blind date was set up with one of those female teacher type people. Well, 2 weeks later, I proposed marriage. 2 weeks later, she said yes. 1 week later, her seminar was over and she disappeared. Well, about a month later, I was able to start taking some leave before deploying to Vietnam. So I drove to Ohio to meet her again and her parents and family and stuff. And we spent about 3 weeks together. And then I flew home to California to see my family and then went to Vietnam. Well, I came back a year later. We got married, went on a honeymoon. I got stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I was a company commander in the 101st Airborne Division. And a year later, the whole division deployed to Vietnam. So I was gone again. And this year, Marilyn and I will be married 58 years. And I contend that one of the reasons that's true is because two of the first 3 years we were a couple, I was gone and couldn't mess things up. What do you think, Skip?
You already know what I think. You know, there's no way to comment on this without getting in trouble. But if that's what the listeners want, then, hey, you know, let them eat cake here.
I don't recommend proposing marriage after 2 weeks.
Yeah,
well, but it worked for me.
Well, Danny, you know my history. I am on my third marriage. So, you know, it's not really the time frame. It's like, you know, if you've got good instincts and you meet somebody and after 2 weeks, you know they're the right person and you've got your head screwed on straight, you're all squared away, then it's no problem. But for me, it's like I didn't have my head screwed on straight. I wasn't even an officer.
Okay? Oh, my gosh. So,
I know. If I'd had that West Point education, I probably would still be on my first marriage. But I didn't. You know, I was a non-com. On top of that, I was a Marine, right?
Ugh.
I mean, you know, there's just something about those yellow crayons. They have a mental effect on you.
Folks, if you don't know, everybody knows unofficially, by tradition, Marines eat crayons. So that's where this joke is coming from.
Well, Danny, they taste so good. They taste so good. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color? Blue.
Blue? I don't like the blue ones. They've got kind of a bitter taste to them. I like the orange ones. The orange ones are best, Colonel, but
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, well, to answer your question, you know, it's, you know, Marilyn, I know Marilyn as well, and she is just an awesome person. And, you know, you're a good man too, but let's face it, both of us married up. I mean, I've been married, you know, to Sarah for 20 years now, and she is just so much of a better person than I am. I mean, the folks got to listen to my wife, you know, last week on the show, you know, and she makes me want to become a better person. And I just have a suspicion that Marilyn does the same thing for you.
Your guess is right. I don't know how both of us did it on this marriage, but we married well above ourselves.
Yeah.
And the ladies are still putting up with us.
Yeah, well, you know, for you though, I mean, you did it on the first try. It took me three tries to get it right. I mean, it was worth the wait, you know, and all the pain and suffering and all of that. But man, I just wish I'd done it right the first time.
Yeah, everybody does. But when you're young, you think you know everything anyway. So therefore, you don't necessarily think anything except that what you feel right now is the right thing.
Yeah, well, and you're always calling me young.
Well, you are.
Young. Well, and that's why I hang around you, Danny, really.
Well, you know,
because you inspire me.
Well, there's certain benefits to being in your 80s. I mean, you can call everybody young.
Yeah.
Indeed, I was at the restaurant the other day, and I was walking past a group of people who were celebrating a birthday, and I stopped to just join the group as a passerby. Turns out the honoree was a lady that I know very well. Her husband's was a good friend of mine. He died a couple of years ago. So I was able to join in, and she was only 81, and I'm 82, so I got to call her a kid. I mean, there's benefits to being old.
Well, that's true, but didn't you sing happy birthday to her?
Yeah, I did, and that was part of the price that she paid for knowing me as a friend.
Yeah, I would say that's against the Geneva Convention. A cruel and unusual punishment. I really don't think you should be doing that.
Well, there were seven other people singing, and I think they probably drowned me out because she was smiling.
Well, they all survived. That's the important thing.
So far.
Yeah, yeah. But Danny, I can't complain. I mean, I have had a hard life, but it's been a really good life. I mean, I'm not dead yet, but you know, it's still going. But you know, I've got seven kids. I tell my students when I'm doing a class, at the very beginning, we'll do an introduction, right? And they say, okay, let me tell you a little bit about myself, you know. And one of the things I say is that, you know, I'm 66 years old, and you know, I have a wife and seven kids. You know, the oldest kid is 39. The youngest is 12. You figure out how I did that and do it a better way. I really did it the hard way, Colonel. It's a rough deal to it, because basically I had three litters of children. And every time, you know, two with the first wife, two with the second wife, three with the third wife. And it was at a different stage in my life. And so I'm 66 years old. I still have three kids at home when most of my friends, you know, are vacationing in Florida. So
with their grandkids. Rough, yeah.
Good. Yes, that's right. That's right. But it's rough, but it's good. And I don't think I would change anything at all. Even the mistakes I made, they made me who I am today. And I kind of like myself.
Well, you know, and kids are awesome. And sometimes they even listen to you. I'm fond of saying that my son, when he was in college, I suggested to him that he either lose the lead foot or get a badge.
Yeah.
Well, a year ago, he retired as a police officer.
Yeah. Well, so he took your advice.
That one time he listened to me.
Not in the way you thought he would.
Right.
But he did take your advice.
And we are good friends. So
yes.
Sometimes your kids actually listen to you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even in the way that you intended.
Well, you know, Denny, I've noticed, you know, with the seven kids, four have grown up, they've moved away, they've got kids of their own. I have 19 grandkids. I got smarter as they got older. And now they routinely call for my opinion and advice.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen. Skip, this was fun. I think we should do this every once in a while, shoot the bull. That way I can learn even a little more about you. And we know each other pretty darn well, but you never know. So
we'll do it. We'll do it, Colonel.
Thank you, Skip. I think we've done good. We'll talk to you again in a minute. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. If you've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom, stand tall, troops. Let's do some push-ups now. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Oh, and by the way, the 64, I graduated from West Point in 1964. That's where that number came from. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800-UCB-GOLD to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800-UCB-GOLD. That's 800-UCB-GOLD, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. You know, I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin is the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver or gold. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Air Force vet Oscar noted that we've covered the mess on the southern border multiple times. How can our government still be allowing this?
Good question, Oscar. Whatever the reason, it has nothing to do with obeying our nation's laws or doing things that are good for our citizens.
You know, Colonel, this is just a guess, but perhaps Joe Biden doesn't listen to Front Lines of Freedom.
That's a possibility.
But he should.
He should.
Well, Colonel, Maria, an Air Force mom, appreciated and is really concerned about the drug situation in our nation that you discussed. This is bad.
Maria, it is bad. We need to stop permitting it as parents and as voters. And now it's time for military history. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 7 March 1774, the British closed the port of Boston to all commerce. The Boston Port Bill was intended to close down completely the port of Boston until the East India Company was paid for their tea lost in the Boston Tea Party and Parliament was paid the tax due on the tea.
And they didn't get it, I guess. On 7th of March, 1847, during our war with Mexico, General Scott occupied Veracruz, Mexico. President Polk decided to attack the heart of Mexico. He sent General Winfield Scott, who landed at Veracruz with his troops, and hacked their way to Mexico City.
And on 8 March, 1854, Commodore Matthew Perry landed at Yokohama on his second trip to Japan. Within a month, he concluded a treaty with the Japanese.
And on the 3rd of March, 1863, during the Civil War, Congress passed a conscription act that produced the first wartime draft of U.S. citizens in American history. The act called for registration of all males between the ages of 20 and 45, including aliens who had the intention of becoming citizens, by April 1st. Exemptions for the draft could be bought for $300 or by finding a substitute draftee. This clause led to bloody draft riots in New York City, where protesters were outraged that exemptions were effectively granted only to the wealthiest U.S. citizens. Although the Civil War saw the first compulsory conscription of U.S. citizens for wartime service, a 1792 act by Congress required that all able-bodied male citizens purchase a gun and join their local state militia. There was no penalty for noncompliance with this act. Congress also passed a conscription act during the War of 1812, but the war ended before it was enacted. During the Civil War, the Confederate government also enacted a compulsory military draft. The U.S. enacted a military draft again during World War I and in 1940 to make us ready for our involvement in World War II and during the Korean War. Our military draft occurred also during the Vietnam War.
And on 3 March 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed a congressional act making the Star-Spangled Banner our nation's official national anthem. On 14 September 1814, during the War of 1812, Francis Scott Key composed the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner after witnessing the massive overnight British bombardment of Fort McHenry in Maryland. He, an American lawyer, watched the siege while under detainment on a British ship and penned the famous words after observing with awe that Fort McHenry's flag survived the 1800 bomb assault. After circulating as a handbill, the patriotic lyrics were published in a Baltimore newspaper on 20 September 1814. Key's words were later set to music. Throughout the 19th century, the Star-Spangled Banner was regarded as the national anthem by most branches of our armed forces and other groups, but it was not until 1916 and the signing of an executive order by President Woodrow Wilson that it was formally designated as such. In March 1931, Congress passed an act confirming Wilson's presidential order, and on March 3, President Hoover signed it into law.
And on 7 March 1945, World War II, the leading tanks of our Third Corps reached the Rhine River opposite Remagen and found the Ludendorff Bridge there, damaged but still standing. Troops were immediately rushed across, and a bridgehead was firmly established during that day.
And on 8 March 1945, during World War II, Phyllis Mae Daly received a commission in the U.S. Navy Nurse Corps. She was the first African-American nurse to serve duty in World War II.
And on 1 March 1954, our nation performed an atmospheric nuclear test at Bikini Island. The ship, number 5 Furuku Maru, was trolling for tuna off the Bikini Atoll in the Pacific. 11 crew members died in the half century since the exposure, at least 6 of them from liver cancer. Between 1946 and 1958, we conducted 66 nuclear tests at Bikini as a part of Operation Crossroads. And in 1955, the U.S. gave Japan $2 million in compensation.
And on 1 March 1954, baseball great Ted Williams fractured collarbone in the first game of spring training after flying 39 combat missions without injury in the Korean War.
I didn't know the baseball was that dangerous.
Yes, more dangerous than war.
And on the 8th of March, 1958, the battleship USS Wisconsin, BB-64, was decommissioned, leaving the Navy without an active battleship for the first time since 1895.
And on 8 March, 1968, a Soviet submarine, codenamed K-129, sank in the Pacific at a depth of almost 20,000 feet. A U.S. sub, the Halibut, found the Soviet vessel 6 months later and recovered three missiles with nuclear warheads, Soviet code books, and an encryption machine. In 1974, the CIA attempted to recover the sub. A 100-foot section was pulled in by the Glomar Explorer with two nuclear-tipped torpedoes and the bodies of six Russian sailors.
And on 8th of March, 1973, the first Coast Guard-controlled drug seizure took place when the cutter Dauntless seized a sporting vessel, a Big L, which was carrying an illicit cargo, 1 ton of marijuana. You'd think they would be high enough they could float.
Yes, you'd think so. And on 7 March, 1994, our Navy issued its first permanent orders assigning women to regular duty on a combat ship, in this case, the USS Eisenhower.
And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a Tulsa homeowner is in jail after shooting a man suspected of stealing from his car early Monday morning, police say. The homeowner approached a man on the street outside his home and showed a flashlight on the criminal. He told the man to stop, but the man started walking toward him, saying, "You won't shoot me." The homeowner shot the robber and then called the police. The police arrived and found a man bleeding on the lawn from a stomach wound. The man received medical care and will survive. The homeowner was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The robber was charged with burglary.
Thanks, Colonel. This is an interesting case, but it happens a lot more than people think. Many people with guns never take the time to research the laws of their state, so they really don't know when they are legally availed the use of deadly force. There are over 20 states in the country now where people can legally carry a pistol without any training requirements whatsoever. That's called constitutional carry, and I believe it to be a good thing. However, if you're going to carry a gun for personal defense, then you need to do the research on the firearms laws of your state so you don't end up in prison like this homeowner. 5 minutes on the internet would have informed this homeowner that it's against the law for him to shoot someone solely for a property crime. Granted, there are some states that allow it, but you have to know the laws of your jurisdiction or you risk being charged with a crime, conviction, and then prison time. In addition to that, you also need to use good judgment. This homeowner made an unwise decision by leaving the security of his home simply because he thought a man was trying to break into his car. The smarter move would have been to call 911 right away and wait for the police. Another smart thing to do would have been to activate the car alarm using his key fob. Then the criminal knows he's been found out, that police are on the way, and it's in his own best interest to leave the area. Most people will always do what's in their own best interest. Criminals are in it for the easy money, so when the job gets tough, they seek out softer targets. Front Lines of Freedom regrets the homeowner made poor self-defense decisions, and we encourage all our listeners to research and learn all the firearms laws in your own state so you don't end up in court like this homeowner. Oh, yes, and if you haven't yet purchased firearms liability insurance, now would be a good time to do so.
Well said, brother. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Steve Wells, the CEO of the Friends of the Israeli Defense Force, will discuss Israel. Steve Gorham will join us again to discuss the so-called climate change crisis. And Navy vet Teresa Robinson will discuss female veterans. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom.
Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.